prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. Good morning, Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. I've got my Diet Mountain Dew, and I'm ready to go.
You do?
I do have my Dew, and we have a Bible contradiction ready, and also, someone has disproved Christianity.
No way.
Yes. That's what we're going to talk about next week.
So we can go ahead and continue the show this week.
Yes.
Because
next week
will be where we disprove Christianity.
Right. We find out how they disprove Christianity next week.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and continue to prove Christianity until we get proven wrong over
next week. Actually, they came up with 5 or 6 things that disprove Christianity. We're just going to go ahead and answer those questions next week.
Wouldn't it only take one thing? Why did they come up with 5? You think they... Boy, that's really like a militant atheist or something. Because, you know, if I find out Christianity's wrong, it's like, that's one thing.
It's a cumulative argument.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Okay, right. Anyway.
Sorry.
Today, I am going to encourage people to not read their Bibles. This is what we're talking about. It's very important that all Christians not read their Bibles.
Oh, so because we're leading up to actually disproving the Bible.
We have to start somewhere.
Okay, right on.
First, we have to stop reading our Bibles. Then we'll prove Christianity is not true. But no, seriously, today, the show mainly today is going to be aimed towards the Christians. So if you listen to us regularly or if this is your first time and you're here because you've heard that we take challenges to Christianity, we do. We want to hear those from you.
Right.
We want to know what your challenge is to Christianity. Send those right now, text message or email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Right. And if you can't remember that, just go to truthrevolution.tv and you can fill out the little
form,
contact form there on the page. Just click that button that says questions.
And so anything you want to challenge Christianity with or just pose a hypothetical question, whether you're a Christian or not, that's fine. Today, though, we're going to talk a little bit to the Christian, to the person who says they want to know God better.
Right on. Because every Christian should.
You know, I'm a pastor, and sometimes the people in our church used to go out and play airsoft. You know, it's kind of like paintball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You shoot each other with these guns.
It's like paintball, but worse.
Right. You know, it's ironic because we're technically a pacifist church, but we would go out and play airsoft, and I'm standing towards some vehicles. I'm looking around, wondering where I should go to start shooting some people, and then one guy who's got one of the most powerful guns, who is hiding in the trees approximately 10 yards from me, takes aim right at me and pulls the trigger.
Right.
And now, not only am I a pastor, but I am a guy. I am a male.
Mm-hmm. Did you scream like a little girl?
Dude, I want you to understand, I am a man, and do you know where he shot me?
Oh.
That is right. It was an inappropriate place to get shot. And I, as a pastor... I, as a pastor, let out a word that should never come from my mouth. Blah, 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 beep.
Yeah.
And how do I get better? How do I stop doing things like this?
Right. Yeah.
I suggest that there's a better way than just anger management.
Right.
There's a better way than just stop hanging out with my friends. And that's what we're going to talk today. How do we change? How can God change me? And the answer is, we devour the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't read it. We devour it and we digest it. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is talking and he gives us a really clear way to handle the Word of God. He says this.
Right, Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Now, this is Jesus. He's in the midst of temptation. Satan has tempted him with bread. He said, "Jesus, eat this bread. Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus is in the middle of fasting. He's hungry. He hasn't eaten for like 40 days. Bread is important to life. And Jesus says, "Even though I'm hungry, my stomach is starving, our real bread is the Word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word." Could you imagine having not eaten for 40 days? Someone offers you bread and you go, "Dude, you want bread? Read the Bible."
I can't imagine not eating for 40 minutes. What are you talking about? But I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, that kind of temptation, it's not like that would be a normal temptation.
Right.
You know, maybe I go without eating for maybe 12 hours, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, I get tempted by food real easy. I can't even imagine 40 days.
And Jesus points out, and this is what I want people to understand today. Don't just taste your bread. Digest it. Mm-hmm. If we're comparing reading the Bible like Jesus did to eating bread, a nutrient essential for life, don't just taste it. Don't just pop it in your mouth, taste a little bit, spit it back out. I want you to eat it and digest it all the way.
Right.
We will starve without good food. And don't just taste your bread. Don't just read the Bible. Don't just go to church. I want you to digest it. I want you studying the Word of God, living it out, memorizing it, thinking about it. It's not just reading. It's whether you understand it and live it out, and it really shapes your mind and the way you think.
Amen. And I'll be honest. I'm, you know, more often than not, I'm guilty of just having a taste.
Yeah.
You know, and moving on, you know?
And who isn't among us Christians, right, really? Now, if you're listening and you're not a Christian, maybe you can give me a big amen right now, because there's too many Christians out there who don't know the Bible themselves.
Amen.
And for a long time, I was one of them. We've got to grab this Bible and we got to read it and study and know what we say we believe. There was a guy named George Whitefield. He is a very famous preacher. From the day he began preaching in 1739 until he died 30 years later, Whitefield preached around, check this out, 30,000 sermons.
Whoa, that's, wow.
Yeah.
That's more than one a day.
Well, he would preach between 40 and 60 hours every single week.
That is crazy awesome.
Isn't that astonishing?
It is.
I mean, that's just that is just crazy. I mean, okay, let's just do the math here. I got my calculator out. 30,000 divided by 30. Oh, I could have done that one in my head. That's a thousand.
Yeah, per year.
Let's do 1,000 divided by 12. He was giving 83 sermons a month.
Yeah.
83 sermons a month.
Yeah.
That's like 2.5 sermons every day.
It is.
Every single day. And these were long sermons. Now, when did he get time off? I mean, he was usually preaching to crowds of like 20 or 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
He would rest on boats while traveling between America and England. Wow. And he would rest because on the boat, he would only preach once a day.
Wow, that means he had to really be on it when he was off the boat.
Yeah, it's just cracking me up. He would only preach once a day, so he was really taking it easy. Yeah. Now, there hasn't been a preacher like him ever, aside from maybe Jesus.
Right.
He spoke to so many people at a time on so many different occasions that it is estimated that 80% of Americans heard him speak.
Wow.
And that's before TV or radio or the internet.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, this preaching was a huge part of what historians call the Great Awakening.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Great Awakening was this gigantic spiritual revival in America. For the very first time, blacks were told the gospel and they were invited to sit in white person's church.
Uh-huh.
This Great Awakening helped develop the concepts that push for democracy in our nation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Wow. You know, I didn't think that when you said when he started preaching in 1739.
Mm.
That was before we became a nation.
Yeah, that was before we were technically founded.
Wow.
Freedom of religion was included in our Constitution because of the Great Awakening.
That's awesome.
Which George Whitefield was one of the major pushers and players in this. It was during the Great Awakening that thousands upon thousands of people recommitted their lives to Jesus.
Wow.
And that's not all. Whitefield was an author.
He wrote?
He wrote when as
did
well.
He have time?
I don't know. In between sermons. Thank you for listening to my sermon, you 20,000 people. I'm going to write a quick manuscript before I preach two more today. He started and raised funds for an orphanage.
Huh.
He started churches. I mean, if anything, we would say that this guy had a spiritually full life.
Oh, yeah.
Likely a spiritually fulfilled life as well. He lived life to the maximum.
Right. It's like he stalked, you know, Christianity. It's
like wait, he stalked Christianity.
Well, when I say stalked, I'm talking about as a lion. You know, it wasn't going to get away from him.
Yeah,
you know. And
when you said stalked at first, I pictured the creepy guy hiding around the back of my house.
I'm talking about like in the wild. You know.
Yeah.
And it's like the one of the a person that's not going to be denied, you know?
Yes.
And it's great because it's like, you know, we got so many people that need salvation.
Oh, and we're going to get to how he had the power and strength to do this. Mm-hmm. But first, is it real? Can someone really preach that many hours to that many people?
It does sound like a lot.
It's fantastic.
It is.
We claim that he had a spiritually fulfilled life, but is it even physically possible? Well, Ben Franklin knew George Whitfield.
Uh-huh.
And this is a fairly well-known quote about Ben Franklin. Benjamin Franklin once attended a revival meeting in Philadelphia and was greatly impressed with Whitfield's ability to deliver a message to such a large audience. Franklin had dismissed reports of Whitfield's preaching to crowds on the order of tens of thousands in England as exaggeration. Because, you know, Franklin was like a rational guy.
Mm-hmm.
When listening to Whitfield preaching from the Philadelphia courthouse, Franklin walked away towards his shop in Market Street until he could no longer hear Whitfield distinctly. He then estimated his distance from Whitfield and calculated the area of a semicircle centered on Whitfield.
Math nerd.
Allowing 2 square feet per person. He realized that Whitfield really could be heard by tens of thousands of people in the open air. He then became Whitfield's publisher and friend, though he never shared Whitfield's beliefs.
You know, it's crazy. It's like, hey, you're doing all this talking. Now I'm going to be your publisher. You have to write books.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, I could just picture, you know, Franklin's like, this is crazy. Whatever. He can't speak to 20,000 people. Oh, he's here now. He is pretty loud. Well, let's just see how far I can hear. Wow, I can hear him pretty well. Let's do the circumference here in the Oh my goodness.
Right.
I got to get this guy published. So,
That's awesome.
And how could Whitfield be so passionate? How could he do so much for Jesus? Well, and the answer is in Matthew 4:4.
Yeah, it says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Want proof? This is where Whitfield got his power? From the very word of God, the bread that Jesus told us to eat? After he was saved, after he became a Christian, Whitfield himself said this, I began to read holy scriptures upon my knees, laying aside all other books and praying over, if possible, every line and word. This proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul. I daily received fresh life, light, and power from above. I got more true knowledge from reading the book of God in 1 month than I could have ever acquired from all the writings of men.
Like I said before, stalking Christianity. Yeah. It's awesome.
He was pursuing the word of God. Mm-hmm. He wanted to digest it, and he really did. He would pray over every line and word as much as he could. That's fantastic.
There's the secret right there. You want to become a really powerful Christian?
You devour that word.
Yeah, and just half of what he did. You know what I mean?
He said he got more from 1 month of studying the Bible than he ever could have got from every other writing of men put together.
Wow.
He had what we would call an abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reread this quote, and I just want you to think about why he had such an abundant life. Now, I'm going to let Dave read it this time, because I read it the first time, you know, where it says, I began to read the Holy Scriptures upon my knees. Let's listen to this carefully.
He says, I began to read the Holy Scriptures upon my knees, laying aside all other books and praying over, if possible, every line and word. This proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul. I daily received fresh life, light, and power from above. I got more true knowledge from reading the book of God in 1 month than I could have ever acquired from all the writings of men.
He passionately pursued God and an abundant life, and what followed? The Great Awakening. It wasn't just preaching. He also opened the orphanage. He looked after the poor. He passionately told people about Jesus wherever he went. Because he devoured the word of God. He digested it. Christians, read your Bibles and digest it.
Amen.
Every day. Now, we're going to come back on the other side of this break. In the middle of this, go to truthrevolution.tv. We have truth shots.
Right.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 60 seconds of truth. We got places for you to donate. We got questions you can ask. We got other shows you can look up from the past. And also, Revolution Church starts this morning.
That's right, 10:15.
So come on out. Love to have you.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
You have no right to tell someone their religious belief is wrong. It's their belief.
At least, that's what some people say.
Should people be allowed to believe whatever they want?
Well, sure, they can believe whatever they want, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are right.
If someone wants to believe 2 plus 2 is 7, they can. Yeah. Of course, that particular belief is wrong.
Yeah, we know truth exists when we deal with math, science, and many other day-to-day things like don't walk in front of a bus.
But too often, people throw out the concept of truth being right or wrong when we get to religion.
We know 2 plus 2 is 4. We know that the sum of the angles in a triangle is 180 degrees.
We do.
Now, if there is really just one God...
And what if Jesus really was that one Son of God?
Well, that would be true if that was actually the case. And religious beliefs that did not line up with that truth would be wrong.
Yeah, right and wrong, true and false, they aren't curse words.
Oh, that's a novel idea.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
We're talking about the Great Awakening, George Whitefield, and how we should not read our Bibles, but digest them.
Right. And it's crazy because you think of a man like George Whitefield about how passionate and powerful he was, and he's just a creation of God.
Yeah, he's just a man.
Just a man.
I mean, we spent like the first 15 minutes of the show talking about how awesome he is. Now, think about this. He's just a guy.
Man. Yeah.
He's like you and me.
Right.
Maybe he wasn't as overweight as me.
Right.
No, he was.
but that goes to say that if he is just a man, man, what could we do as Christians if our whole community gets together and everybody starts doing it like this?
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
If we would actually take the Bible as seriously as George Whitefield did, I'm not even saying that everyone listening here is called to be a preacher.
Right.
But if we took the Bible as seriously as Whitefield did, we would experience a full, abundant life, the life that God determined for us to have.
Oh, yeah. And you want to talk about a revival? It'd be awesome.
He says he read the Holy Scriptures praying over every line and word. I mean, most of us have trouble just picking up the Bible on a daily basis.
Right.
And I'm saying, don't just pick up your Bible, digest it, think about it. He would pray over it, every line, even individual words. He says it proved to be meat for his soul. I love that. And he talks about having learned more from 1 month of doing that than every other human book combined could have taught him. And he opened orphanages. He looked for the poor. He told people about Jesus wherever he went. He became every great man or woman of God has a passion for God's word.
Amen.
It has to start there. I cannot have a passion for my wife if I do not listen to what she has to say.
That's true.
I have to love her words.
Right.
And loving God involves loving his words. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
And he wouldn't have said that if he didn't really mean it.
Absolutely. You know? And so he really means it. Having life to the full is God's desire for you.
Right. And we're not talking about having the things of this world, you know, the things that can make our flesh happy. We're talking about an abundant spiritual life, the real things.
That's right. I'm not talking about stupid little toys like Ferraris.
Right.
Because they can break. They're going to go away. We're talking about real, long-lasting happiness, meaning in life so that you are truly happy whether you have a Ferrari or a Pinto.
Amen.
I'd rather have a Ferrari than a Pinto, but I'm saying you can be happy and spiritually fulfilled either way.
Right. If I had a Pinto, I'd just drive around backwards. Trying to run into things and stuff. Because I like explosions and stuff, but sorry. I'm sidetracking here.
Actually, you know what? This is probably a good time for us to do our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
It's nice to know that I can interrupt the show and have some something good come out of it. Bible contradiction from evilbible.com. They want to know, God's attributes are revealed in his works, or God's attributes cannot be discovered. Romans 1:20. And we've spoken of this recently, this specific verse.
Yeah.
For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse.
Okay.
So God's attributes are revealed in his works, but wait a minute.
Sure.
Job 11:7. Can you fathom the mysteries of God?
No.
Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?
Nope.
Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Okay, so what is it? God's attributes are revealed in his works, or God's attributes cannot be discovered? They want to know.
Cracked acronym. This is how we resolve Bible contradictions. This is also a good way to study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The first C stands for context. You got to know the context. The R stands for revealed.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will reveal stuff to you. Now, I would encourage these people to really allow the Holy Spirit to work on them.
Right.
But, you know, really, they got to start taking this in context. The next A says author's intent. You got to ask, what was the author trying to accomplish by this? And I want to ask that question today.
Okay.
What were these authors trying to accomplish? All right, Romans 1:20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What's he trying to accomplish? What is Paul, the one who wrote this, trying to get done? He's trying to show that you don't have an excuse. You should look at nature and know that God exists.
Right.
That's what his goal is. If you look at Job 11, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? What's he trying to do?
I'm trying to show how infinitely deep God is.
That's right. He's just trying to show that God is super deep. Romans 1 is not trying to say you can know everything about God, and Job isn't trying to say you can't. Well, Job is saying that, but Romans 1 is not saying you can. And so they're not against each other at all. Romans is saying, look, you should be able to know God exists. Job's saying, well, yeah, you know God exists, but you right. can't know everything about him.
It's just like saying, I've got a neighbor. I know who he is. I recognize him when he walks out the front door, but do I really know him?
Right.
You know?
And Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He will not grow tired. No one can understand him all the way. What's he trying to get at? Like, hey, wake up, dude. God's big.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
That's all he's trying to get at. This is not a contradiction. Romans is simply saying, you should know God exists. And the other two are saying, well, yeah, and God is big.
Bible contradiction.
Awesome. I love Bible contradictions.
Me too. I just wish they would come up with harder ones.
Right?
More difficult ones. We're going to do another one next week. You know, and listeners, if you know of any Bible contradictions, send them our way.
Right. Maybe you've run across something that really confuses you.
Because we've been trying to find good ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not very many out there.
Getting harder and harder to find because, I mean, we've been doing this for, what, almost 2 years now?
Yeah, we've got like over 100 contradictions solved already.
Yeah.
So if you know one, or you want to make one up, find it and send it. Questions at truthrevolution.tv, or just go to truthrevolution.tv and fill out the form there. Just there you shoot go. Us something, please. Give us something difficult to talk about. Anyway, so we're talking about how Christians should read their Bibles. No, not how they should read their Bibles.
Digest the Bible.
How they should digest their Bible.
The Word of God. Yes.
All the way in. And this is what George Whitefield did. He digested it. He took it all the way in. He prayed for it word by word. And he had a full, full spiritual life. An abundant life. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, does that describe your spiritual life? Could I say about you, oh yeah, you have a full, abundant spiritual life. And that word full in the Greek, it was written in the Greek, it literally means overflowing, beyond measure. Is your spiritual life beyond measure? A great awakening in your life, perhaps? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. The Sparkling Gems commentary says this.
But I came that they might have, keep, and constantly retain a vitality, gusto, vigor, and zest for living that springs up from deep down inside. I came that they might embrace this unrivaled, unequaled, matchless, incomparable, richly loaded, and overflowing life to the ultimate maximum.
That's a really good paraphrase of what Jesus said, or expansion on what Jesus said. Yeah.
That's a lot of adjectives.
And how do we get that abundant life? By self-help books?
No.
Do we get it by just doing everything right?
That's impossible.
How do we have the abundant life? Well, what is the abundant life? It's a life that finds its entire worth in, makes its mission the spread of, and enjoys ultimate satisfaction in knowing and savoring Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is it possible to find satisfaction in knowing Jesus without hearing his words? No. We can't do that if we abandon his word. We can't even do that if we just bounce against his word or just take little tastes of it here and there. Do we want abundant life? Yes. So we must listen to what he has to say and digest it.
Amen.
There's only two ways to hear from Jesus. Well, really three maybe.
Okay.
There's direct revelation. There's general revelation. And there's special revelation. The direct revelation is Jesus appears to you and talks to you.
Right.
General revelation is you looking around, like the verse from Romans said, and you see God exists, and you can understand things about Jesus. But special revelation, the Word of God, the Bible. Look, friends, you don't need a voice from heaven when you have a verse from heaven right in your Bibles.
Amen.
To have an abundant life, you need to hear from Jesus, but you don't need a voice. You need a verse. You have one already. Abundant life is found in letting the abundant creator fill you with his love and his passion and his knowledge, and that's how we live. Not with like weak things like cars and houses and boats and food, although I love my food and my boats. And actually, I don't have a boat. I wish I had a boat. But that's not what life is made up of.
Right. All that will pass away. And, you know, I find myself today, I was kind of laughing to myself just a couple minutes ago because I find myself during this show saying, amen, a lot.
During this one, yeah.
Right.
You know, we have to listen to what God has to say about life.
Amen.
If we don't listen to the instructions, we're not going to have an abundant life. I one time wanted to install a dimmer switch for my parents. I think it was in sixth grade.
Oh boy.
And I didn't read the instructions. I thought, this looks pretty simple. You unscrew this, you put the wires on, you screw it back on. I had my metal screwdriver, touched it to the screw that was attached to the electric wire, and bam! I got the shock of my life.
Right.
We skim over directions all the time, and we do it with our Bible too. Stop skimming your Bibles. Digest it. Read it. Know that it is your life or death.
Right. And do it not just for the sake of knowledge, but for the sake of actually absorbing truth.
Man.
You know?
Look, I want there to be a great awakening in every town that our stations hear this. In every town that our listeners hear this, whether wherever it is in the world. God has designed you perfectly to do amazing things. So hook up to the source of power. Love it. Pursue it. And digest it.
Amen.
All right. Hey, next week, Christianity disproved.
Oh, boy.
So this week, digest your Bibles. And next week, apparently, you'll find out why it's totally unnecessary. All right. Have a great week. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. See you next week.